Welcome back, everyone. To Resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Radio broadcast on RVN Network. And we were discussing that Donald Trump has now officially won the election and will be the next president of the United States of America. Don't you know the globalist elite are squirming in their seats right now and thinking of the next route to go? Keith and Eric, what do you think about that?
Well, just
I'd say it's good
numbers.
News. So far, so good. So far, what Trump is doing seems to have some resonating effect at the international level. The word is that the people around in some of the nations that we've been bombing and attacking are claiming that the attacks are lightening up, and I think that may be in anticipation of a change of administration. I kind of thought originally that you'd see the same military-industrial complex and same warmongering and same empire building under Trump, but I'm really hoping and praying that that's not going to happen and that he's going to close down some of these bases. We have 900 bases overseas at least. Those are the ones that are disclosed. And it's just obscene when this country is in the broken down, up to our earballs in debt, living under our own Nazi police state situation that we should be out, trying to conquer the world. We're going to wind up just like Rome. And I can read you some Roman history later if you want me to prove it. My favorite one was what was the year 212 or 220 AD, where all free men of the empire became citizens. Boy, that happened in 200 AD. It sounds just like the exact same thing that went down under the 14th Amendment in the 1870s, isn't it, Lori?
Absolutely. We're going to cover that. We can definitely bring that up a little bit later, but I still have a lot more breaking information that a lot of the antique MSM is not covering and is not telling we the people. And that's why I say today is truly a historic day. Not only did the globalist elite not get by with the electoral coup, they have not gotten by with starting the civil war that they wanted to start by all these riots and quote-unquote protests that they were putting in the streets, funded by Soros and linked back to all of these individuals. They did not succeed when with the assassination of the ambassador. Russia knows exactly what's going on. Russia understands that we the people here, as far as we the people, are not the enemy of Russia, and we are fully aware of what's going on, and they know that, especially because we the people, meaning the whole or most of the whole of the union, fought to get Donald Trump into office. Now, I'm not putting him on a pedestal, and I'm going to be honest with all of my listeners. I did not vote, and I'll tell you why I did not vote. Number one, I believe in law of the land. I'm not a 14th Amendment citizen. Number two, I have no right to put anybody who is going to be over you. However, with that being said, because now the election is over and everything else, I will speak truth. I do think we do need to keep a close eye on Mad Dog Mattis, not because he is a great general. He does fight for his men. He does care and love his men. He is a great Marine. However, he was for arming the Syrian rebels. He was for being pretty much anti-Russia and anti-Iran. So I just want to say we need to keep a close eye on him. However, if he is in there and he is a general that will follow the orders of Trump, and Trump gives those orders that we are going to work with them to get rid of the real terrorists here, okay, well, then I'm all for that. But on top of that, here's the ultimate thing. If you truly want to stop these terrorists, then the United States of America needs to quit arming, funding, training them. They need to quit aiding and abetting terrorists, and that's the flat simple fact of that matter.
Trump's going to need to understand that there's going to be intelligence subdivisions within certain intelligence agencies that will betray him. Mm-hmm. And it's usually a false flag terrorist and assassination. Those neocons that come running up, bringing up the rear into his Oval Office saying, oh, great, now we got to go over here and attack them and bomb them and go take that land and go get that country for the multinational corporations. Those are going to be the people who are your traitors, and he needs to look out for them and deal with them accordingly.
Absolutely, and, you know, I want to cover a couple more articles and news sources that probably most people don't realize is going on. It is being reported that a judge ordered unsealing of search warrant in the Clinton email probe. This is being reported today. A federal judge has ordered the unsealing of a search warrant that played a role in the controversial public renewal of the investigation into former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's email just before the presidential election. The warrant was issued by a federal magistrate in late October after the FBI requested permission to search emails contained on a laptop belonging to Anthony Weiner, the estranged husband of Clinton aide Huma Abedin. The FBI discovered that the Clinton-related emails after initially seizing the laptop during a probe over Weiner's alleged sexually explicit online exchanges with a minor, the U.S. District Court Judge P. Kevin Castell, issued an order Monday that the warrant linked to the Clinton probe and related records be unsealed at noon on Tuesday unless a higher court steps in. The judge acted after E. Randall Schoenberg, a California lawyer who mainly investigates art thefts, filed a suit seeking to force the unsealing of the files. The records to be unsealed will show how the FBI framed its arguments for the search warrant to access the emails. An affidavit submitted when seeking the warrant could reflect what the FBI told the magistrate involved about how likely the emails were to contain evidence of a crime. So that is another thing that more than likely is not being reported, but it is nice to know that this has not gone away. On another note, if you don't remember Hurricane Katrina and the individuals who were involved with the deaths of civilians when the guns were taken away from the civilians, when civilians were looted and robbed and beaten and murdered by police officers, well, that has not gone away. And the notes, I'm going to have to read this a little bit backwards, but as of 12:30 p.m. today, the New Orleans mayor said that he will announce the settlement of civil rights lawsuits over deadly police shootings after Hurricane Katrina. A news release on Monday said that Mayor Litch Leandrew would make the announcement later in the day. A spokeswoman for the mayor's office said that the settlements resolved lawsuits over the deaths of three people who were killed in two separate police shootings after the 2005 hurricane, and a fourth person who was fatally beaten by an officer shortly after the storm was struck. Now, this is what I want to reiterate on. A total of 20 New Orleans police officers were charged in a series of Justice Department civil rights investigations following Katrina, and 11 officers pled guilty to charges related to deadly shootings on a bridge less than a week after Katrina struck. The reason I want to point this out before I go to what actually happened in the settlement is because I wanted to reiterate once again, we say this over and over and over again on this show. We tell you, Uniform Code of Military Justice, or we tell police officers, your duty to obey your oath, your duty to disobey unlawful orders. It is your duty. You will be held accountable. Nuremberg, they were hung. They said, oh, I was just following orders, and they got hung. These officers, no doubt, same sort of type of situation, 20 of them have been charged, and 11 pled guilty. So they now, instead of a badge, they're getting the bars. So that is what I want to say about that. Now, at 3:05, excuse me, at 3:25 p.m. today, the mother of a teen killed by the police in New Orleans in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina says she wholeheartedly accepts the mayor's apology for his death. Cheryl Johnson is the mother of 17-year-old James Brissett, who died in the September the 4th, 2005 shootings on the Danziger Bridge. At Monday news conference, Mayor Mitch Leandrew announced $13.3 million in settlements of lawsuits over deadly police shootings after Katrina and a fatal beating just before the 2005 storm. Leandro said that the settlements are with 17 plaintiffs. At the news conference, Johnson thanked Leandro for issuing the apology. She said, "Now this is closure for me." Johnson was one of several members of the victims' families who attended the news conference. So that is another huge breaking news that, of course, I have not seen as of yet antique mainstream media cover. But the reason it is so important that we cover it is, you know, the people were disarmed during Hurricane Katrina, and they were targeted by police officers. And we stand against this all the time. And, you know, the officers who consistently say, "Oh, well, I've got a badge, you know, the blue line is going to cover me. The FBI, they're going to cover me. As long as I do my orders, I'm not going to be held accountable." You're wrong. You're wrong. And we want you to understand the importance of the job that you have. Your job is not to intimidate and bully and to be a code enforcer. Your job is to be a peace officer. Your job is to protect the people's rights, not some fictitious organization. You've been placed in a very serious place of authority in order to help people and use that to your advantage. And many, not all, but many take advantage of that. And that needs to be stopped. Or you will, just like these 20 New Orleans police officers, be held accountable. Just like up in Nuremberg, you will be held accountable. Do not think for one second that just because you're following orders, you won't be held accountable. Because whether you're held accountable in a court of law or whether you are held accountable on the day that you pass away, you will one day meet your maker. You will one day answer for your crimes. What do you, Keith, what do you think about this? Do you think that $13.3 million in settlements was enough?
Well, it's a lot better than the one that I could talk about otherwise. They only got 3.2, and that was even an unconstitutional shot.
Right. Well, here in this situation, this is only 17 plaintiffs. What about all the people in New Orleans where their guns were confiscated and then never given back to them? They were stolen because, oops, they couldn't find them. What about those people? What about the other people who got into those little campers and ended up getting really sick, those little FEMA campers?
Well,
what about all of those people?
Oh, I know. Let me make 2 points with that, okay? They never wanted to think it never happened to begin with. They had enough buses to get out between the city. The city buses and the tour buses, they could have got everyone out of there, okay? Second thing is, this has been around and around because of the fact that the cabal, their idea is that we can disarm people, then we can have power over them. This goes back to Mao Zedong when he was in Korea. I mean, they lost 20 million people because of Mao Zedong's deal. I have a friend of mine I used to talk to out of Egypt just recently. Mm-hmm. And he still doesn't understand why we've not come against the caravan. Here you have a country of 38 million people, lost 40 million people, but what they've gained out of it, because they were trying to confiscate all the weapons.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Chapter and verse in the history of before every genocide, there is a disarmament. And you can be assured that gun laws are not for anybody's safety. It's for so the corrupt government can get command and control over the people. It's our last line of defense is the guns. And that's why they're going to be coming after them hard, even on the global level. And so Trump's really going to have a lot to do to try to block the disarmament and preserve preserve the rights as they are granted by God and not by anybody in government. Governments change. Governments go bad. Governments are full of bad people. That's why it's so important we get back to the fundamentals.
Yeah. Let me throw one more piece out. What about the 78 people who lost their lives up in Massachusetts for confiscating weapons up there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, it's already going on. That's right. They're chipping away one at a time right now. If anybody thinks, you know, they're going to be coming for the guns someday. No, they already are. Trust me. Look at the Shane Bennett case in upstate New York.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Across the union, across the union. And, you know, it's sickening. And I'm really praying to God, and I mean this sincerely, that Donald Trump means what he says. I pray to God, because if so, he will have to acknowledge that all those gun laws are unlawful. Every one of those statutory are unlawful.
Mm-hmm. And he's not the be all and the end all. He can't do everything himself. While the change is occurring at the top for the better, hopefully.
No, he can't.
We have to take back our county and put our county back.
I understand that. But remember this, Eric. He can do away with the unconstitutional executive orders that attack it. He can speak out against it. He cannot change congressional quote-unquote acts, but he can change those executive orders. He can speak out against it, and he can push for real reform in abolishing those unconstitutional statutes in the first place. That he can do. Now,
well, if you study the law, you actually, technically, you're supposed to go back to the original laws. Okay, in other words, the oldest law is what we obey. A good example, and I love talking about this, I get into the whole night, but I won't get into it. But the original immigration law is 1805, and it still stands still this day. So all these people coming over, do they accommodate? No, they don't feel so. Bye-bye.
Right. Well, there's a lot. We'll get into the immigration thing on a different night, because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot that they used to do for immigrants to come into this country that they do not do now. And people are under an illusion. They think that they just came over here by the flocks. No, they didn't. They went through a rigorous process on Ellis Island in order to be able to even get in here. And if they did not think that you were smart enough, or if they did not think that you were healthy enough, they would not allow you in, period. And we'll go over that in a different night. But I have some more news, guys. I don't know if you remember who Christine Lingardi is. Do you remember who she is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, the IMF Christine Lingardi, and I reported back in August 23rd of 2016 about this, that she was facing charges for embezzlement and fraud, and it has been reported today that she was convicted of negligence. But get this, she faces no jail time, and the IMF board is to meet shortly. So it is being reported. It says in the statement following the Lingardi news that the board will meet shortly to consider the conviction. The executive board's met on previous occasions to consider developments related to the legal proceedings in France. The IMF spokesperson Jerry Rice says in an email and adds that it is expected that the board will meet again shortly to consider the most recent development. The International Monetary Fund managing director, Christine Lingardi, was found guilty of one count of negligence by a French court today, according to Bloomberg News. She was accused of failing to prevent a massive government payout to businessman Bernard Tapie 8 years ago while serving as France's finance minister. But most surprising, of course, is that she will not face a fine or a jail sentence. Now, I read that off of an article. I am not surprised a bit. These people are treated as if they are above the law, even though they are stealing and thieving from people all around the globe. But that is a little bit of good news, even though nothing has happened so far. At least she was found guilty of it. So that's a step in the right direction, even though she's not facing fines or jail sentence. There is also, what do you have to say on that, Eric, or Keith,
well,
either one? What are you feeling?
My mind immediately went to the common law grand jury, because, you know, obviously, first of all, what she was doing, she just got caught on one of the counts. This is how these people operate 24/7. This is just a little teeny sliver of what she did, and she's just a little teeny sliver of the whole, like Keith used the word, cabal, for lack of a better term, the consortium of corporate henchmen and henchwomen who have infiltrated into government positions, and now they're using the power of the military and the state police to crack down on their own people. And so, once again, if we don't get justice, which you never will from a district attorney or an international prosecutor. I mean, these people are all only allowed into those positions of being an international prosecutor or a federal prosecutor or state prosecutor if they have dirt in their past, if they have what's called a control file. So they will not do the right thing, you know, because their handlers will just pull out that piece of paper and say, oh, look, we got the emails from the pedophile ring, or well, you didn't pay your taxes this year, or we got you cheating on your wife. And that's why the government is so rife, packed full with only corrupt people. They're only allowed to run for office if the powers that hold the paper also hold some blackmail evidence on these people in office. So it's very few and far between, and we're rarely going to get justice. So I think everybody needs to, once again, back to your local county, if there's no one that's immune from a common law grand jury indictment. I mean, you can indict the president in your county, and when he ever shows up there, he can be arrested by the sheriff. It's kind of we really have to get back to almost square one with our freedom and our fundamental the structure of how our communities are going to be, because I think you know, they've trained us real well to always look to the top, always look over there. Somebody will fix that for you. That powerful person is never going to get brought to justice. Or if they do have some charges and some kind of mock trial like just went down with Legarde, you know, you could say, well, oh, we're getting some justice now. No, we're not getting anything. You're getting they're throwing us a bone, hoping that people will say, oh, great, wow, they busted Legarde, and oh, wow, they got this guy or that guy. They're just giving us barely enough now to try to, well, they're running from the rope, and they're trying to kind of get the hound dogs of freedom that are nipping at their heels. They're trying to appease us. And well, it doesn't work with me because I know how deep and how dark the hole goes and how many are involved.
Right, so and we all understand here.
Well, we get our grand jury. Yeah.
Right, and we all understand here it's bottom up anyway. We know Washington's not going to fix anything. So we understand that. But at least with that, maybe it gives us a little bit of standing, not us per se, because this specific thing had to do with some issues that happened in France. However, you know, we need to think about that. You know, we also need to make people aware the United States charges Platinum Partners executives with $1 billion because of fraud. Top executives of New York-based hedge fund manager Platinum Partners were arrested on Monday and charged with running a $1 billion fraud that federal prosecutors said became like a Ponzi scheme as its largest investments lost much of their value. Led by Mark Norlett, Platinum was known for years for producing exceptionally high returns, about 17% annually in its largest fund, by taking an unusually aggressive approach to investing in fund management, as detailed by a Reuters special report in April. Norlett, Platinum's founding partner and chief investment officer, was arrested at his home in New Rochelle, New York. Federal prosecutors accused him and six others of participating in a pair of schemes to defraud investors. The charges highlight the brazenness and the breadth of the defendant's lies and deceit, Brooklyn U.S. Attorney Robert Capers told reporters. Capers also added that the case was one of the largest and most brazen investment frauds ever, and Platinum was ultimately exposed to have no more value than a tarnished piece of cheap metal. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission announced parallel charges Monday against the same executives and two Platinum entities for similar civil fraud charges. The 48-page criminal indictment said since 2012, Norlett and four other defendants defrauded investors by overvaluing illiquid assets held by its flagship Platinum Partners Value Arbitrage funds, mostly troubled energy-related investment. This caused a severe liquidity crisis, and Platinum at first tried to remedy through high-interest loans between its funds before selectively paying some investors ahead of others, the indictment said. So to some extent, there is Ponzi-esque aspect to this scheme, Capers said. Now, It says fleeing to Israel, founded in 2003, Platinum will, until this year, had more than $1.7 billion under management with more than 600 investors, authorities said, and some of those investors came from the same New York area Jewish community as Norlight and other Platinum executives. They've included a charitable trust set up by day trading pioneer Aaron Elving and Century 21 Associates Foundation led by the department store executive Raymond Giddy and the SFF Foundation, a nonprofit controlled by the Sacron family known for its real estate investments. Now, I'm not going to read the whole entire article. So individuals are starting to be held accountable. And I really wonder if it's because the citizens of the United States of America have truly shown that they are really done. You know, they're really starting to wake up. Now, I'm not talking about the ones who can be paid to do, you know, this, that, and the other, but people are really starting to wake up, and certain issues are starting to finally come out. Had y'all heard about that?
Yes, I had, yep. I wanted to draw people's attention to a New York Assemblyman, William Nojay, N-O-J-A-Y. Very interesting character. He was recently about to be indicted. He was about to be arrested by the FBI and indicted and possibly extradited to Cambodia. This guy, from the beginning of his career, anyone who's awake could tell that he was an economic hitman. This is why the people who up in this upstate New York area where he was represented, I mean, he traveled the Trans-Siberian Railroad twice under Soviet occupation. You know how much distance that is? He said in his words, he was chumming around with the tribal leaders in Libya during the Reagan administration when we were bombing them. That can only be CIA. Transportation expert, he found himself constantly agreeing with all the liberals. He came across and ran on the conservative ticket as a good Republican. He was back and forth setting up transportation grids under UN Agenda 21 style formats in Michigan and upstate New York. He was back to the Ukraine and Mexico and all these other places. He finally committed suicide the night before he was about to be arrested by the FBI. And this was just recently in upstate New York. And it was very interesting that even, I mean, when that gave me some hope that they were really going after some of the severely ingrained people in the intelligence community, the CIA civilian assets who infiltrate. Oh, and by the way, he was part owner of a radio station, 1040 WYSL in upstate New York, that touts itself as a good libertarian type of freedom-loving show. And, you know, one of the main mouthpieces was deep, deep, deep CIA. And it was quite obvious. He was always pimping the GMO. GMO food's good. Who are all these people assailing GMO food? It's a great growing practice. You can use much less chemicals. Yeah, right, like more Roundup. And, I mean, just absurd stuff like that. The military-industrial complex doesn't exist. We need more war. We need more money for military contracts. It was just, he was truly the enemy. And he supposedly shot himself in the head near his family's grave site in upstate New York.
All right. Well, what we'll do is we'll hold that thought, and we'll come back right after a word from our network sponsors. Stay with us for the flip side.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
How you doing? It's Jimmy here from Zipa. Today I wanted to tell you about my efforts to achieve global elimination of snoring. It all starts with respect. Respect for yourself and respect for others. Listen, you think you're being a nice guy or a nice girl by letting a guy or girl next to you sleep and snore every night. It's the ultimate disrespect to have that happen. You wake that person up and you tell them, go to Zipa.com now. ZYPPAH.com. We're not going to tolerate this, all right? Snoring is not okay. Someone next to you is snoring, you tell them to buy a Zipa. ZYPPAH.com. I know that you're listening to these snoring things and you're thinking, well, it don't apply to me. I don't have these problems. A lot of people are in denial, but it's true. Listen, if you're snoring, you got to stop it. What you got to do is get this fixed. Get a Zipa and change your life. ZYPPAH.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back, everyone, to Resurrect the Republic RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I want to let you know that I have two wonderful guests this evening, Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers and Keith Jones, who is also a person of knowledge in his own right and has for a very long time been studying the history of our union. Tonight we've been covering a lot of news in which antique mainstream media will not cover. So I wanted to let you all know this as well. Now, Eric and Keith, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how I feel about this, and I'll explain to you why after I read to what happened. President Obama just granted 231 pardons and communications, the most ever in a single day. Now, what is being reported is it says President Barack Obama pardoned 78 people and shortened the sentences of 153 others convicted of federal crimes on Monday, the most individual clemencies ever granted in a single day by any president as he nears the end of his second term. Obama has issued more communications than the previous 11 presidents combined, according to the White House. The 231 individuals granted clemency today all demonstrated that they are ready to make use or have already made use of a second chance. The White House counsel, Neil Eggleston, wrote in a blog post, while each clemency recipient's story is unique, the common thread of rehabilitation underlies all of them. And Now, I'm not going to read this entire article. However, at the bottom, it does state this. In 2014, Obama sought to bring attention to what his administration describes as over-sentencing in federal prisons by directing the Justice Department to prioritize petitions for communications from nonviolent offenders who were serving longer sentences than they would receive today if they were convicted of the same crimes. Now, here's the case. There's many different ways we can look at this. First of all, you and I and we know that the federal government is not supposed to go against individuals in the first place, correct? That's correct. Supposed to be a state issue. So, on that, we don't know if these were nonviolent offenders, right? And in the reality, now I don't know if any of these were illegal aliens or not. It's possible. He's done that before. No doubt if they are illegal aliens, they'll be let out on our streets like they were before instead of deported. But the reality is, according to all the research that we have ever found, do you know of any research that would back up the federal government other than invasion? Okay? Other than invasion, that would back up the federal government being able to go against any of these people in the first place.
Well, first thing is the next they're doing is it's the whole thing is set up under the government idea. Well, the problem is there's not a government. So how can they legally do any of that to begin with? Okay, but there was a comment that I really did like the other day I heard, and it's a little bit off, but the same idea, is Trump has held off this deal for Hillary until he gets in office, because if it happened before, Obama can give her a full pardon, and then what happens? We gain nothing.
Well, my thing is this, okay? Federal government shouldn't be going against any individual in the first place.
I agree.
Federal government with the U.S. Constitution has an agreement between the quote-unquote state, not an individual person.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, without sounding like I am losing my mind, I agree with Obama doing this. And I agree with him doing this because we know from the historical sense of researching and documents, unless there is some documents that we have not found yet, there is no justifiable reason for the federal government to be able to go against an individual whatsoever to lock them up for crimes, especially statutory crimes.
Right. And even especially a federal government that's not really a government anymore. It's a corporate. It has incorporated itself. Its papers held by foreign bankers and foreign entities. So it's not even really a government anymore. So you're right. I mean, what he's doing. I mean, you know, we got to empty out the prisons of all these nonviolent statutory offenders who are supposedly in there for crimes that when they didn't do it any criminal act whatsoever. Once again, you can't show a victim. Most of these crimes that people are locked up for, where's the victim? The victim doesn't exist. You get complainants in the form of police and prosecutors writing up fraudulent documents saying the state is the victim. You know, and once again, the state is a fictitious entity. If you can't point to an actual man or an actual woman who has been victimized by someone's crime, then there is no crime whatsoever. And all these brainwashed enforcers have to get it through their heads. They have to stop enforcing these bogus statutes. We are not conscripts in their military. We are free individuals that enjoy the protections of a republic.
Right. And, you know, what I would like to say is what I would like to see, honestly, and I mean this sincerely, for President Trump to do is I would like to see him grant clemency to every, and it would take a mass group to actually go through and, you know, give case numbers and make sure there was no victim to the crime, you know what I mean? But to do a mass, grant them mass clemency whether it be the federal or the states or the local jails or whatever, because that would send such not only a strong message that we are back to being a union for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but that we are not going to tolerate people being massively incarcerated, over 2.5 million in the United States of America today. We won't. That would save the budget. That would save people's paychecks so much. Families would be reunited. People would start really seeing that we are a republic again. And I would like to see him actually, for nonviolent offenders, of course, for ones where there is no victim, I would like to see all of them granted clemency, no matter.
Great idea.
All the way down.
Great idea. Yeah.
You know,
and look, there's plenty of volunteer organizations out here, you know, such as, I mean, this Court of Observers, one of them, one of many, that I'm sure would be glad.
Absolutely. I would be glad to volunteer and create what is called a people's panel.
Lacking any victim.
Right. Right. I would gladly volunteer myself, and I've got you and a lot of other individuals really that are willing to put the time in it to sit down, create a people's panel that answers straight to him, hey, this is nonviolent crime. This one needs to be granted clemency, and go down the list, because this not only, he wants all this money for the infrastructure. You could get all that money for the infrastructure almost instantly if you released all these prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Almost instantly. You can unite families, which is going to build up America, not destroy it. Would you agree with that?
Yep, and he immediately has to liquidate all these regulatory agencies that are preventing anyone from starting a business or staying in business.
Mm-hmm.
You drive through many of these upstate New York towns, they're like a ghost town. And there's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
New York State has 750,000 regulations on small businesses. That number came from the Republican candidate for Lieutenant Governor Sheriff Moss, who purports to be a constitutionalist and said the absurd statement, we just need to enforce those 750,000 regulations we have. Let's not have any more. No, I don't think so. Let's not have any more and repeal 749 of those 750,000 regulations, none of which have to do with public safety. It's all just crap
right.
to drive the little guy under and put money in the pockets of the bureaucrats along the way. And where do we wind up? In a broken-down nation, $30 or $40 trillion in debt conservatively with unemployment at 25%. And so we got to get some work going for these people before we let them out of prison if we want to have them something to do. That's how they feed the prisons, is they stifle the economy, they strangle it, and there's nothing left to do but
right.
sell drugs or try to go on public welfare.
Right. But the thing is, the billions that goes into the private prison system could be billions that could be adjusted to, quote-unquote, the temporary lift-up. Because let's be honest, the food stamps and Social Security and Medicare and all of this that they whine about constantly, don't tell me how bad that is when the bankers are the big welfare dogs. They're the ones who get the real welfare, and then they lose $6 billion and nobody blinks an eye. You know, if anybody researches the Grace Report, none of the taxes that you pay goes to pay for any program whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be a win-win because it would reverse the police state. And it would,
but unfortunately, there are several legions of judges and state police and sheriffs and local police who are all, and federal agents, whose pension funds are heavily invested in American Prison Corporation and WAC and Hutt and all these military supply and prison buildings.
So it's Wells Fargo.
So they have a direct financial stake.
We've got
to cut off. So how do you deal with that financial incentive that all these government corporate agents have to enforce their contract law on
free people?
Well, one
of the things
I think... freedom.
Well, I think one of the things that needs to be done is Trump needs to have an investigation, which we will gladly help him with on that, too. But he needs to have an investigation, and he needs to figure out how to cut it off and not allow it, just like he did with the lobbyist thing. If you work in his administration, you're not allowed to be a lobbyist for 5 years, and then you're not allowed to be a lobbyist to any foreign government for the rest of your life. So he already started that kind of legislation.
Saying anybody who could directly benefit from incarceration, mm-hmm. arrest, guilty convictions, etc., cannot be invested either directly or indirectly in any stock for any company that supplies the prison or police state equipment. So this is clearly RICO. It's not even a stretch to see that these judges and cops are committing RICO by arresting people and then directly benefiting from their pension, which is going to go up and up and up the more people they incarcerate. So I think there can be directives, right. There can be executive orders, there can be orders to Jeff Sessions to remedy this matter, because right now it's a direct. I would open a case on anybody who profits from the police state that works in it, cops, judges, etc. Needs to have a RICO investigation opened on them immediately. It's going to be a lot of RICO investigations. Do it in bulk a department together, or an agency, and do it. They brought all the Bundy people up at once in one trial. We can do that against the government, the enemies in our own government, very easily. It just takes going to take a lot of guts from Trump and his people, and so we'll see where it goes.
Right. And, go ahead.
Can I mention something that Eric and I were talking about when we lost you earlier? And that was, we were talking real briefly about land and all this stuff and self-governing. And the part of the reason why I looked at the size of land I want, because as soon as I get that, which is just, you have to have just under 2,500 acres of land, you can make that piece of land self-governing.
Oh, really?
By law.
Does it have to be 2,500 acres?
2,500 acres or more, correct. And everything I've been looking at has been somewhere between 5 and 10, and I've been looking at one in Colorado, it's 84,000 acres. I also know one in Montana, and I bring this up for a reason. There's one up there for a little over 100,000 acres, but you ready for the real best part of it? It's the only way you can get to the BLM land. Okay, and they have 2.3 million acres there that you can only get to by that one ranch. So you actually get that and
of the things, though, whether BLM has authority to go across something or not, they do it anyway, and they will burn people out. BLM needs to be abolished. And the individuals that are the nonprofit organizations that are going along with this junk, Daniel P. Love, for one, who was over at the Bundy Ranch, putting and aiming his weapon, at unarmed civilians and women and children before the Bundy Ranch became a standoff. Love has a very shaded history, and people who have researched him, they know that. The BLM has literally burned down houses and cattle and livestock and burned people out of their homes, and people are like, oh, but it's them. No, not but it's them. None of them have ever been charged for the arson. They're the ones who are using fire for arson, yet the Hammonds sit in jail under double jeopardy, no doubt, for stopping a BLM fire in the first place that was threatening their home. So BLM not only needs to be abolished, they need to be investigated. People need to start being charged. They need to start being charged. And I am not talking about low-level people. I think there should be a freeze. This is my personal opinion. I think there should be an absolute freeze on the allowance of the federal government to arrest any American citizens at all until the corrupt ones in the federal government have been held accountable.
Well, the other thing, we don't even need the Department of Interior. I mean, it's an alphabet agency. It's not even constitutional. So let's just get rid of it, period, and then that takes care of the whole problem.
Well, no, I understand that. I was just referring to, illegal aliens. You have to have a process to catch them and send them back to where they go.
Well, I agree.
We know that. But anything else, there should be an absolute freeze. They should not be allowed to harass, whether it be the FBI, whether it be the ATF, whether it be the BLM, whether it be the EPA, whether it be the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
That is just my thought.
The other thing that we need to do is
you have people that are in the ATF who have never been convicted of the crime of gun running to Mexican Sinaloa drug cartel. You've got people within the EPA who not only have abused citizens, but you've got sex scandals going on. You have people within the IRS that have been targeting American citizens. No one's ever been held accountable. You've got people within the Secret Service who were never held accountable for their sex crime. The DEA was never held accountable. Those individuals were never held accountable for being with the prostitutes that were supplied by the drug cartel. So until that crap is cleaned up, they have no right to come after anybody that is for anything.
Yeah. But the other thing we need to do is start...
The heads of the agencies, the chief of the police departments, you know, it's real easy to, once again, throw the Patriots a few bones by arresting a few low-level lackeys, but right up to the top, because these people don't tie their shoes or go to the bathroom without asking their boss and getting an order from on high first. So this stuff comes right down to the chief of police,
the head of the agency.
I want the
ones up in the top.
All these top dogs have to go down.
I don't want the low levels. I want the ones up in the box. And then after the high-ups that were corrupt and went along with this, then go after the lower levels. Because the ones who follow unlawful orders, it is not my fault. If you took an oath to the Constitution of the United States of America, and if you took an oath to your state, it is not my fault if you don't know what that oath means because you didn't read it. Mm. It is not my fault. Yeah. You took that oath. It is your duty. It is your responsibility to protect the citizens of the United States of America. And if you don't do so, then you need to be held accountable. But you need to be held responsible. They need to be held responsible for everything they're doing to American citizens, American patriots all over this union. All over this union are incarcerated. Independent bloggers are incarcerated all over this union over made-up things. Look at Tom. Look at Pete Santilli. Look at Ammon Bundy. Look at Ryan Bundy. Look at Clive and Bundy. Look at Skylar Barbo. Look at Walter Fitzpatrick, because he dared expose a corrupt jury in Tennessee.
Yeah. I've got a gentleman I know out of Alabama.
Upon us to suffer at the hands of the stupidity and the tyranny of the enforcers and the order takers and their order givers, who are both equally, and I would say the executioners at the lower level are the most responsible, because without them, this whole thing would the whole evil antichrist system that we're suffering under would collapse, and we'd all of a sudden have our freedom back.
I've got a gentleman out of Alabama.
Go ahead.
I got a gentleman out of Alabama that I know that's been in prison for 10 years because he didn't have a permit to build a house in the county. Oh, we'll let him go for $600,000.
Right. That's unlawful and unjustified and illegal.
Yeah.
According to constitutional, and I'm talking about their corporate bylaws.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and I mean, what about Leonard Peltier? There is so much proof that Leonard Peltier, I don't know if y'all know who he is. He was a Native American man, and he has been held, over 30 years now? Over 30 years. I remember when Bill Clinton was in office, I wrote Bill Clinton about Leonard Peltier's case. That's how long ago I remember this, and yet he still sits in there. They know he didn't do anything.
We have a man in New York named Victor DePonso who had an organization called Jail for Judges. And people from all over this area were coming to him with evidence of corrupt judges and all the evil that they were doing, criminal actions. And unfortunately, Victor had a minor statutory felony in his past, a DUI, and the police planted one bullet in his office desk, and they sent him up for 30 years on a conspiracy charge for possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, because he had one bullet in his desk, a bullet which was obviously planted. He had no weapon, he owned no gun, he had no ammunition. But they raided his office, they clearly planted that bullet, one bullet, and he's in prison for decades. And, you know, once again, they like to come after the activists first. We all have to hang together, or we're going to hang separately. Yep.
Absolutely. And, I mean, look at the Shane Bennett case. Look at the people who get threatened with jail time if they don't pay a ticket for driving or traveling, right? That's taxation without representation. Never once did we have to seek permission from the government in order to travel. We do to drive because it's commerce under that 14th Amendment that was never lawfully ratified in the first place.
Yeah, it all goes back to the massive abuse of the Commerce Clause and the General Welfare Clause. And you know, the enemy is always going to find a loophole here. It's all about loopholes for them and traps for us. And they're going to find a way to open up that Constitution and say, oh, this Constitution gives us the freedom to turn us into a communist nation. And I would argue this stuff does not come from the minds of most Americans. Most of this stuff is brought in globally under a global agenda. It's amazing how these little towns all around America have the identical plan. You can see the permitting systems, the driver licensing systems, the building and code enforcement systems, the control over your private property. It doesn't deviate from one county to the next. There is a blueprint.
Well, no, because it links back to the international. Yeah, it links back to the international.
Yeah, now they can find many useful idiots domestically to enforce these edicts, but they certainly are. It's so clear now that it's a global agenda, and it's once again back to your county. Keith said, "What I heard, it was 4 square miles to start your own county." He says it can be 2,500 acres. And with a constitutional sheriff and enough of the population of that county armed, so the sheriff has a sizable, healthy posse, the federal government's going to have a lot of trouble just pushing people around. Mm-hmm. And so, once again, bottom up. Right. And if Trump can help us from the top down, block a lot of these unlawful actions that are being taken against patriots and property owners, and do what he can from his end, you know, once again, we can get him from the top down and the bottom up, and then it's a slam dunk for freedom.
Right. All right. Well,
thanks for everything.
I want to say thank you to Keith and Eric for joining me this evening. I hope you have learned a lot about what's going on in the world today, which is not being reported in the antique mainstream media. And I do want to say, please join us tomorrow evening. Hang with us. Thank you. And as always, watch your backs and check your facts. Semper Fidelis. And have a wonderful night.
Welcome to the face. Welcome to the face of the new democracy. Here in the land of the not so free. Oh, 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 oh,
without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. at aroutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.